Is Charlottesville the first battle in a new civil war? We'll talk about it on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into
Korea.
Gee, it's amazing that the Russians have been able to influence 4 special elections.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner with you this week. Charlottesville echoed of racial battles fought throughout American history. Slavery, the days of Jim Crow, the 1960s, the Civil War. So how should conservatives, libertarians, and free market types react to the ugliness and violence in Charlottesville, which made most Americans recoil in horror? The sight of armed extremists from the far right and far left wreaking havoc has elicited many different viewpoints on how the legitimate right should respond. While the president and many who support him have spread the blame around, Jeff Charles of LibertyNation.com in an article entitled "Conservatives Need to Start Talking About Racism Now" says conservatives should speak up forcefully and unambiguously in condemning the white supremacists and Nazis. And Jeff joins us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, the most compelling point that you make in your article is that it's time for conservatives to distinguish between the phony charges of racism and bigotry constantly leveled by the left and their handmaidens in the establishment media and the actual white supremacists and Nazis. That captures the essence of what you've written, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. People tend to think that the GOP has an ideology that is similar to that of the Ku Klux Klan or the neo-Nazis, which is false, obviously. But the problem is that conservatives don't really address racism in a meaningful way unless they're just rejecting the false charges that the left is making against them. It's allowed the left to dominate the conversation on race in America. And what we need to do as conservatives is to show how white supremacists and their ideology has nothing to do with actual conservatism.
Right now, it seems to me that in looking at what happened in Charlottesville, that if the strategy of the far left counter-protesters who participated actively in the violence, obviously, that if they're strategy had instead of confrontation, had been to organize to ignore this march of extremists, that we wouldn't have given these white supremacists, these neo-Nazis, these KKK members the publicity that they got. Wouldn't it have been better if there'd been an organized strategy to simply ignore these hundreds of far-right extremists?
It's possible. I mean, the thing is, that's how it used to go in the past. I mean, this isn't the first time that groups like these have demonstrated. It's just in the past, not a whole lot of attention was brought to it. We don't live in that racial atmosphere anymore. So when events like this happen, you're going to get your Antifa, you're going to get your hard left, and you're going to get people on the left who protest peacefully. And there's nothing wrong with protesting peacefully, but at the same time, if that's going to happen, conservatives still need to outright reject these people and actually reject them in detail. Talk about what they believe that we don't believe. Because as long as this continues, the left is still going to tell the American public and convince them that conservatives have way more in common with white supremacists than we actually do.
But won't the left just respond to those efforts to distance legitimate right-of-center people from the extremists who were in Charlottesville? Won't they just respond to that the way they usually do, which is to say, they're just paying lip service. We know by their actions that they're encouraging and attracting these kind of people. I mean, will will actually standing up and trying to actively distinguish the legitimate right from the illegitimate far right actually accomplish anything?
You know, I've been getting that response a lot. I posted in a few groups on Facebook the article, and I got that a lot from conservatives. My answer to that is, who cares? Let the left be the left. We know the left is not going to stop using this strategy. It's a tactic. The left isn't the issue in this equation. The issue is the people that we can actually reach, people in the middle, people who are open-minded, even people on the left who are more open-minded and not so quick to label people as racist. Those are the people that we're trying to reach. And those are the people that we need to show that conservatives are not white supremacists. And so I think if we are able to argue that effectively, if we're willing to bash real, actual racism just as much as the left does, it's going to be harder to portray Republicans or libertarians or anybody on the right as actual racists.
Well, now, to what extent are you willing to blame the counter-protesters from Antifa and Black Lives Matter for the ugliness in Charlottesville? I mean, as I said earlier, they could have organized to simply ignore these people. Instead, they chose to confront them. How much do you blame the counter-protesters?
The counter-protesters that I blame are the hard left. I mean, usually when the KKK does their rallies or the ridiculous marches, you do have counter-protesters, but they're peaceful protesters. I have no problem with that. The ones that I think really share in the blame are groups like Antifa who come to cause violence. Now, nobody knows who actually started the violence at Charlottesville. It was most likely on both sides. But we already know that Antifa will go just to regular pro-Trump rallies with just regular conservatives and cause violence. So I think when the president said there was a violence on both sides, that is correct. And that's indisputable. Now, I think he missed an opportunity to actually address white supremacy in that, but that part of his statement wasn't necessarily wrong.
Now, I was doing a little bit of research, Jeff, on just how many members of the KKK currently exist in the United States. And by most accounts, including those from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which unmasks hate groups, and they're rather expansive in their definition, I might add. But nevertheless, most numbers put it between 6,000 and 8,000 Ku Klux Klan or Ku Klux Klan members nationwide. That's about 0.002% of the population. So that begs the question, just how big a threat is this white supremacist far-right extreme movement? And is there compelling evidence that it's grown over the last year, 2 years, 5 years?
I think that the KKK has been largely marginalized. I don't know how much of a threat that they actually present. I don't believe that they pose much of a threat at all, because the majority of Americans on the left and right have rejected them. And I think we should continue to reject them. That ideology has no place in America. So there's a reason why their numbers are so low. So in a perfect world, people would just ignore them. But the reality is that the media is never going to ignore them, because they serve as a political tool that they can use against conservatives. So I'm glad that the numbers are as low as they are, and I think that the numbers will continue to get lower. I just also think that us coming out and joining the rest of America in loudly attacking them will help the image of the Republican Party, and it will show people in the middle that we're not who the left says we are.
Well, now let's go back to President Trump's very bold statement on Tuesday of this week, in which he condemned both sides and asked the questions about toppling statues or removing them, like Robert E. Lee, whose statue in Charlottesville was at the center of this whole ugly confrontation last weekend. Does he make legitimate points that both sides are responsible for this? And does he make legitimate points And I don't want this to be a rhetorical question that answers itself. I'm serious about it.
Right.
But also, in terms of President Trump's statement that if you remove Robert E. Lee, who's next? Are we going to pull down George Washington because he was a slave owner? Are we going to pull down Thomas Jefferson because, as the president said, do you like him? He was a big-time slaveholder. So what do you make in totality of President Trump's statement, which, of course, has been a magnet for really loud criticism, from not only from Democrats, but also from other Republicans and, for example, business leaders who decided to beg off of the president's counsel on corporate economic affairs or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I mean, as far as this, I mean, when it comes to the monument being taken down, I think there's good arguments on both sides. I do see how that could become a slippery slope to where we're removing Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. I actually saw a headline today talking about how Al Sharpton thinks that a monument to Thomas Jefferson is an insult to his family. So I could easily see how it can go in that direction. And at the same time, there's people like Condoleezza Rice who believe that the monuments should stay up so that we remember that part of our history. And I think that it is important to remember that part of our history and not to pretend as if it didn't happen. As far as his remarks, my main issue with his remarks was that he didn't condemn the white nationalists, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, by name. Now, he did do it 2 days later, which is good, but then that just gives left more ammunition. Well, too little, too late, right? But to me, I think he was right to condemn violence happening on both sides in the statements that he made on Saturday. I wish he also would have condemned the actual white supremacist ideology that was being promoted, because in reality, at that situation, that's what killed them.
Now,
that violence.
You may have done something inadvertently when you just referred to those who marched on Charlottesville as being white nationalists. I mean, are we to lump them in with legitimate nationalists who happen to be white, or are we going to call them white supremacists? Because, you know, the language really matters here, Jeff.
Right. Yeah, it does. It does. And when I say white nationalists, I'm not talking about people who believe in nationalism that also happen to be white. That's not what I meant by that. I'm just talking more about the actual racial aspect, because there's people who believe that America's greatness is based on the white ethnicity. And then there's people who just believe that America is great because of our values. And I don't have any problem with the idea that our nation is great because of our values, because I actually agree with that. I'm talking about the actual racist aspect of it. And so I probably should have just said white supremacist. That's actually what I meant. But I think that was really my only issue with Trump's statement. Although I did like that he came out a couple days later and said something about it. I mean, he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't anyway.
Right.
But still, I think it would be better if he had.
Well, let's go back to something you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. And Lisa Donner wrote about this on LibertyNation.com this week about the idea that stripping a nation of all history that it wants to forget can be a dangerous thing. And she points to the Holocaust Museum and how their philosophy, the philosophy of Jews who want to expose what happened to Jewish people in Nazi Germany, their approach is the opposite, which is you need to display it. You need to have a museum. You need there to be monuments that are kept in order for people not to forget what happened. But it seems that the left has taken an opposite strategy. And I say to myself, if I'm an Antifa or a Black Lives Matter protester, I think the last thing I'd want would be for all remnants of white supremacy to be removed, for then there is no focus for the evil that they're trying to uncover.
Yeah, and that argument is what makes me lean more towards leaving them up, because I think it is important that we do remember. I actually I went to a concentration camp at Dachau, and I saw what the conditions that the people lived in. And that, I think that's important. I think that a lot of those things should be preserved so that we don't forget what happened under slavery. And we don't forget the gravity of the war that was fought to end slavery. I think it's too important. Leaving them up doesn't saying that you like what happened or that you approve of it. It just means that we need to remember that part of our history.
Right, because those who are not familiar with history are bound to repeat it, as has been said so many times through the course of American history. Let's try to localize this a little bit. I'm situated here in the Washington, D.C. area, so I'm seeing what all the swamp dwellers have to say about this. But you're located down in the Lone Star State of Texas. Give me a sense of what people are saying down there about this whole racial upheaval.
I haven't really heard anybody talk about it, which is interesting. I would suspect, I mean, because it's the more conservative area, but I am in Austin, which is a blue part of a red state. I would imagine that there's a lot of people on both sides of the issue. But I haven't really heard about anybody here in my area really discussing the issue. I don't know if it's just because it's just not all that important to them or if it's just because they're afraid to talk about it. But I think it's hard to say. It's hard to say what people think here. I would assume that most people in this area would be for leaving them up to remember the history of what happened.
I wonder if, Jeff, if the media hasn't unwittingly cheapened or dulled the effect of what happened last weekend, because they've been so quick with the charges of racism and sexism and misogyny and xenophobia and all the things that were outlined by Hillary Clinton in her famous deplorables remark. I wonder if they haven't devalued that term so much that when the term racism now appears legitimately on the front pages, people aren't paying the kind of attention that they might have before Donald Trump came around.
They've definitely devalued the word. The media and the entire leftist establishment have cheapened the word. I mean, that's why I've always hated when they use racism as a political tool rather than actually calling out actual racism. And they want to focus on white supremacy, which I get, but then they also act as if racism is just in every single facet of American society. They focus on the intersectionality, on the microaggressions. They're teaching people to see racism everywhere. And so if everybody's racist, nobody's racist. They've taken that term to such an extreme that it can mean pretty much anything. So if somebody calls somebody else a racist, it doesn't really mean much.
Right.
And what I've been hearing from a lot of white people is that they're starting to not care about being called racist because, one, they're not racist. Two, because the word just doesn't have that bite anymore. I mean, I, a long time ago, I used to hear people say that white people are desperately afraid of being called racist. Whole thing to be.
Well, I know
now what's happening.
I was just going to say, when I was growing up, when someone was called a racist, you snapped to attention and you paid very close attention because it was a very serious charge that was leveled not nearly as indiscriminately as it is now.
Yeah, exactly. And the way it is now, it's lost a lot of its meaning. It still has some meaning. I think it will always have some meaning. But most of that meaning, or a lot of that meaning, has been lost because it's just been used so liberally, no pun intended.
Jeff, thanks for joining us, and thanks for, a very articulate statement of what you believe conservatives should do in response to this growing racial violence that we're seeing. It's ugly, it's repugnant, we all hate it, and it's just a matter of the best way to try and deal with it. And we appreciate your contribution. Keep on writing on LibertyNation.com.
I will. Thank you very much.
Jeff Charles of LibertyNation.com. There's more, much more about this subject on LibertyNation.com. Lisa K. Donner has authored Trump Gets It Right, Blames Both Sides. And Jim Capua, who lives near Charlottesville, has written a piece entitled Smite the Right, Disasters from Charlottesville. Just hit up LibertyNation.com. I'm Tim Donner, and this is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com.